We are continuing our series on Romans chapter 5. Let's turn there. Romans chapter 5, beginning with the 12th verse, reading down through verse 19. Romans chapter 5, beginning with the 12th verse, down to verse 19. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or held against folks when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the trespass of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. I hope that you are understanding, kind of reading along. Somebody's gone over it quite a bit. Verse 15, but the gracious gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. That's where we come in, those who are saved. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the gracious gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So Adam being greater than Jesus. Jesus being greater than Adam. Verse 18, so then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men, meaning all who believe on him. Notice the one act of righteousness. That's the power of the cross. For as through the one man, verse 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were appointed sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be appointed righteous. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing. And may the hearing thereof, hearers thereof, be blessed. So we thank the Lord God's grace is greater than man's sin. When Adam sinned, as we see again in verse 12, we sinned with him. His sin was imputed to us, or reckoned to us, or accounted to us, or deposited into our bank account meaning our lives. So when he sinned, we sinned right along with him. God looked at us, viewed us as sinners, just like he viewed Adam. Mm-hmm. And God counted us as having sinned right along with him. Now, we asked the question, we began that last week, how are we united with Adam? Mm-hmm. How are we joined in relationship to Adam? How are we in relationship with Adam? How is that? In what way are we united? Because obviously we are joined inextricably to Adam, because when he sinned, it was credited to us. So how are we joined? In what way are we joined? So we begin this. So the first way, what we're joined naturally or biologically. Let me get this here. We mentioned a couple of words, so this is still review from last time. So we found out that the first way is realistically is the the theological term for that. It means we were joined naturally. We were joined biologically. There's other word that's, we were joined similarly or germinally. In other words, we were in the loins of Abraham, and again, Adam rather. We went over Hebrews 7:10, which says that Levi paid tithes while he was still in the loins of his father. So although Levi wasn't alive, right, he was yet to come, but when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, it was imputed or credited to Levi, who was in the loins of his father. And so we are in the loins of Adam. And so when Adam sinned, we sin right along with him. Amen. I know you've heard that before. So I'm just, no, that's the first way. We call that either the seminal view, the germinal view, or the natural or biological view, which all comes under the realistic. We were there realistically or naturally or biologically. We were there. The second way is the federal or representative view. Federal view or the representative view. That's the second way. He was our federal head, meaning he was our representative. He was our representative. He was a representative of the entire human race. He's a representative of the entire human race. That's what the federal head or the means. It means he was a representative of the entire race. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Again, this is how we're joined or related or united to Adam. Okay? Romans 12, again, just as through one man. Who's the one man? Adam. I don't mean to get on your nerves, but I may get on your nerves because I don't care to get on your nerves because I want you to get this. All right, so I may do it a million times because I want you to understand this. For through one man, who's the one man? Adam. Sin entered. What was the sin? Disobedience. Entered into the world. Why did it enter? Because it wasn't there before. When Adam disobeyed, sin entered into the world. What followed? Death to Adam and Eve, of course, because of his sin. And we'll get to that, why it's his sin, not necessarily Eve's, but his sin. So through sin. And so death spread to all men. Now, this doctrine, here's another term here. This is the very last clause, and so death spread to all men, of Romans 5:12 is known as the doctrine of original. I kind of went over that a little bit. Original sin. Now that's another theological term. You don't find those words in the Bible, but I tell you, it's strange to me why they call it original sin, because it's not necessarily the first sin committed, but what it is the result. The original sin, theologically speaking, is the result of the first sin. It's the result of the first sin. The result, the first sin. So if you go back to 12, verse 12, and it says, therefore, justice through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. Here it is. And so death spread to all men. So the result of his sin, through one man, sin entered. Because of that sin, death spread to all men. So the consequence The result of his sin was death, and that death spread to all men. That's called the original sin. The result or the consequence of the first sin. And why did death spread to all men? Because all sin. So, oh, and I have to hear my notes. Because not only Adam sinned, but all sin. Why? Because he was our representative. God chose him as representative. Now, you won't see in the Bible the words, Adam is the representative of the whole entire race. You won't see that. What you will see is when Adam sinned, everybody was affected. And through that, you conclude because God chose him as a representative. And notice, it's one man. It's not Eve. Eve sinned too. Eve sinned first. But God chose Adam as the head. Look at verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many, and the many in this case is what? All die. Right? Because verse 12 again says, and so death spread to all men. So the many in verse 15 is all. Why did all die? Because our representative sinned. Go down to verse 18. So then, as through one transgression of our representative, Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men. Verse 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many, what does many represent? All were made sinners. He represented us. Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, we'll get to questions in a moment because I got the questions written down because I already know what you're asking. 1 Corinthians 15, let's go there for a moment. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22. Help us to get it, Father, and accept it. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22. But does everyone have it? For as in Adam, all die. Do you see that? He's our representative. So also in Christ, all will be made alive. Adam is the representative of the whole entire race. I got some, in my notes here, some thoughts and questions. Someone may say, hey, I didn't choose Adam to be my representative. I had no choice in the matter. Someone else could have said, I could have done better than Adam. Why you pick him? Why did you have to choose him? And then when you chose him, why did you attach me to him? Why did God let this guy be our representative? Are those fair questions? Yeah, they're fair. Yeah. Well, here's a shocking statement. Someone said, nowhere in the history of all mankind are we represented more fairly. He said, why? Because God was the one who chose Adam. That's a mic drop. And everything that God does is good, whether we understand it or not, whether we accept it or not, doesn't make what God does any less good because we don't want to accept it. You understand it. God chose him. You understand that. You read it through one man, and Adam all died. You understand it. We don't want to accept it. And I've told you this. This series is going to make you, challenge your faith in God. Whether you really believe in him or not, or you just lip service. Are you in that group that Jesus is saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far, not just not near me, far from me. Do we trust God? Do we believe in him for real, or not? Are we going to accept the fact, well, you know what, once the preacher said God did it, and God did do it because no man did it, Adam didn't choose himself. Now, this conversation is not written in scripture, but I wouldn't be surprised that when God, let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 right quick. Genesis chapter 2. Look at verse 15. I think starting in verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Look at verse 15. I'm reading out the Legacy Standard. So I think it says, then the Lord God, what did it say? The Lord God, then the Lord God took the man. To say Lord God, yeah, the word Lord is Yahweh. Yeah, so I'm the Legacy Standard Bible took all those Lords out and put in the actual rendering of that word. Then Yahweh God took the man, set him in the Garden of Eden, cultivate and keep it. Verse 16, and Yahweh God commanded the man saying, from any tree of the garden you may surely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. I believe that the Lord God had a conversation with Adam. Now, I'm not going to be dogmatic on this, but I believe that he had a conversation with him, told him, you're the head of the entire race. You represent everybody. And whatever you do is going to affect everyone else. And he gives them this command, you will surely die. Now, why do you say that? Remember the Lord God's, you know, this representative idea is not something foreign. If you think it through, you all who've been around the word enough, how about this one in Deuteronomy? He said, I call heaven a record this day that I set before you life and death. Therefore, choose life, finish it, that you and your seed may live, because you represent them. That representation is not anything new. Even the influence, when it says that he will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation, the influence of your acts is going to affect, and not necessarily they have to pay for it, but it's going to affect your generations to come, because you're the representative. The influence is that big. Well, that would preach on the fathers. Fathers have jacked up a lot of their children, and they've done it for generations. It's not anything new. When God chose Adam, because God chose Adam, Adam was the greatest, most best, that's not a good word, but that's good phrasing, but the most best representative ever in the history, because God chose him. God chose him. And everything God does is very good. You ever thought about politics? What do they call it? Representatives. The House of Representatives. We choose our representatives. Never, ever, ever, ever will we choose a political representative who will represent the people as accurately and fairly as Adam did. We choose human beings who won't even come close. God chose Adam. I don't get it. I don't quite understand it. Well, then I'm going to, let's turn. I've been quoting it. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 55. Put it in your reading. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. You might as well just bookmark that, because I'm going to have you keep going back to it. When your mind starts going sideways, I'm going to keep sending you back here. When your mind just starts going tilt, let me go back here. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my way, nor are your ways my ways, declares, announces, and pronounces the Lord. Because as the heavens are higher than the earth, and that's multiple millions of miles higher, hundreds and hundreds of millions of miles higher, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Period. Turn over to Romans chapter 11. And I think it's verse 36, I think, but somewhere in there. Romans chapter 11. Romans 11 and verse 33 through 36. Romans 11. 33 through 36. And this is what you give to your family members or whoever else you're talking to. You know, let them know this. Verse 33, Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Right? How deep is his riches? How deep is his wisdom? How deep is the knowledge? Oh, the depths. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Can't fathom them. You can't figure them out. Can't understand them. Who has known the mind of the Lord? That's a rhetorical question. The answer is no one. Or who became his counselor? Really? Who has first given to him that it might be repaid to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. It's not questioning God. It's accepting God and then praising God and worshiping God for it. Paul ended with the doxology, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory. And how often, how long? Forever. Amen. Because I understand I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to understand all of it. He's way beyond me. And so we must accept that. He chose Adam. He knew Adam was going to do what he did. And all that was right in the mind of God. And we, if we're going to have faith in God, then we must accept it as well. One more thing. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 5 or 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, by what? By what? Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was not found because God took him up. For prior to him being taken up, he was approved as being pleasing to God. Well, we're going to find out why. It just says by faith in verse 5. Look at verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who draws near to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So by faith, that's how we please God. Well, this is a testing of your faith. Faith, again, is to trust in, believe in, rely on, depend on with absolute conviction. To be fully persuaded in God. But that, what does that mean in God? In his power, his might, his wisdom, his sovereignty, his majesty, his sovereign choices, his sovereign actions. To just be fully persuaded that everything he does is 100% righteous and pure. The faith is about honesty. Say, you know what? I don't get it. But you know what? You did it. And everything you do is good, I accept it. That's faith. All right. So, how are we related to Adam? We're related germinally, seminally, naturally, biologically, realistically. Secondly, we're related as he is our federal head. He's our representative of the entire race. And no, you couldn't have done better, or else he would have chose you. Are even thinking that points to the fact that we are fallen. Thirdly, how are we related? We're related to Adam in the mind of God. So I put here, sovereignly, we're related in the mind of God. In the mind of God. We were there in the garden with Adam in God's eye. When do you think? Say it again. Before the world began. Somebody been listening. Yes. You think God just happened to stumble? Oh, there, I'm going to run this back. Wait a minute. Maybe I'll... No. Before time began. Let me show you. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. We were there, in the garden, in the loins of Adam, in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world. Verse 25, chapter 25, verse 34. Did I say 34? Chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, who are those on his right? Those are the sheep. Remember, the left were the goats and the right were the sheep. Come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, look at this, prepared for you when? From the foundation of the world. Already he knows everything about you, everything about me, before we even existed. And of course we know that because we read it over in Romans chapter 8, the quote-unquote golden chain, that he foreknew us, right? He foreknew us, meaning to know in the Greek means to know intimately like a husband knows a wife. Intimate knowledge. He had intimate knowledge of us before we ever existed. That's an incredible statement. To be that intimate with us before we ever were in existence in God's eye lets us know, hey, he knows all about us. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, hold on a minute. Go over to Romans chapter 8. I think it's verse 29. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 29. Verse 28 again. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are the called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew. very intimate ahead of time. He also predestined, which means to give a destiny to you and me before the journey begins. And what was that destiny? To become conformed to the image of his son. That's why we keep harping on living right, not being hypocritical. Because we're representatives as well of the Lord Jesus Christ when we go out into a lost and dying world. That's our destiny. So that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called. Those whom he called, he justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. But verse 29, because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. And he knew us before the foundation of the world. Now, with that in mind, let's slide over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I don't think we really believe that either. Who has, past tense, it's already done, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That is amazing. God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the strength of God, the wisdom and knowledge of God. You know, the word of God said that the word makes one wise, makes the simple wise. Wisdom is in the word of God. Peace is in the word of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Ghost. We have the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. We have the wisdom of the Lord. He that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. We have a comforter who's following us within a life coach, therapy. Man, we live with the greatest therapist of all time, a life coach. He's in us. Greater is he that is in you, comforting, strengthening, counseling. Hallelujah. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which he's meaning he's blessed us the highest way he can bless us. Because the natural blessing, cars and money and a secure job and this, that, and the other, that pales in comparison. And that you leave here. You brought nothing into this world. And it is certain you will carry nothing out. But the riches that God has provided, they're with you always. Because we're going to enjoy his peace and his joy and his love without any interruption. No hindrances. No mishaps. No disturbances to our joy. Ever. Forevermore. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. Just as he chose us in him, there it is, before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. He chose us. We didn't choose him. I know you know that, but let me just remind you of that. Yes, amen. The word of God says, we love him because he first loved us. He chose us when? Before the foundation of the world. That's when he foreknew us. That's why I read the other one in conjunction. He foreknew us, chose us before the foundation of the world. And what was that? What is the reason? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us according, which he made us accepted in the beloved. Are you looking around trying to get people to accept you, living for their acceptance? If you're born again, the greatest of all time ever has already accepted you, even when everybody else has rejected you. And I'm not trying to preach what you call those talks? It's not motivational speaking. These are spiritual, eternal facts. He's accepted you. Your family may have rejected you. Your spouse may have rejected you. Your closest friends have turned their back on you. But he says, if you're born again, I've accepted you. I chose you. I'm intimately acquainted with you. Hallelujah. I've accepted you in Christ Jesus. Who is, I'm going to get to it later, but he's also our representative.
Hallelujah.
I just dropped that down. We'll get to that. Amen. This is Adam's our representative naturally. He's our representative spiritually.
Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Because notice in verse 3, just tipping on him, we're going to get to it more. Verse 3, that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. What are the last two words? In Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In the beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're in him, all of that has come to us. Because we are united with him. And because Romans 6 tells us, having been united with him, buried with him in baptism, shows how we be in the likeness of his resurrection. For when he was rose, we arose to walk in newness of life. That's the unity in Christ Jesus. That's what, see, we know those verses. When we get all twisted, when we hear it on the Adam side, and we just love it on the Lord Jesus Christ side. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Again, we existed in the garden, actually even before that, but also in the garden, in the mind of God. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are whose workmanship? His workmanship. I want you to know that too. He's working on you. He's working on me. He's accepted you. He knows you intimately. He's given you a destiny. He's given you strength. He's given you a life coach, a comforter, a counselor, a strengthener, a standbyer, a helper. He's given you all of that. Then he gave you his power. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's given you his strength. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Uh-oh, we're not just in Christ Jesus to say, hey, I got fire insurance. I ain't going to hell. Right. No, it's more than just fire insurance. Amen, Susu?
Yes.
She laughs at that one. But that's what people, fire insurance. I ain't going to hell. That's it. No, you got to live something.
Right.
It's not enough by just not going to hell. Mm-hmm. If you've noticed this over and over again, we were prepared. To do what? God prepared so that we would walk. Either, he said, we were his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared, listen to this, beforehand. When you think beforehand means before the foundation of the world, so that we would walk in them. What? Good works. We were prepared. We were chosen, elected, selected, empowered to walk in good works, because our destiny, as we read in Romans chapter 8, is to be conformed to the image of his son. We're to live this thing. That's why it breaks my heart so incredibly when pastors, or any Christian, but in particular, pastors are living hypocritical lives. Hypocrisy. I'm not talking about committing a sin here and there. 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, I write these things that you sin not. But if you do sin, he knows that we do are overtaken in a fault. Galatians 6:1. We do sin. We have an advocate, a defense attorney. We have a that's another blessing in heaven. We have an attorney on retainer.
Thank you, Lord.
Who is he? Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Hallelujah.
And he is the propitiation or the satisfier. He satisfied the righteous judge's demand that sin, all sin, be repaid. Yeah. And when Jesus died in our place, God said, I'm satisfied. Yeah. He's a satisfier. So we have an attorney on retainer. And I'm talking about a pastor who sins every once in a while. I'm talking about those who are living a life of sin. It's heartbreaking. We are to be examples. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And then he prepared beforehand works that we walk in them. One more. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. And we'll stop here. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. I don't understand the Arminian folks. It is steadily shooting down. There's nothing you can do to be saved. There's nothing you can do. It is God that saves. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It says, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Then it says it again. Not of works. Lest any man would boast. So it says it here. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling. And he goes out of the way to make it. Not according to our works. We're not saved because of what we did. We're saved. Keep reading. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us. Here we go. Here's our representative in Christ Jesus. When did all of this happen? Before time began. Here we are, back here. We were in the garden. He knew it. So how are we joined to Adam? We're joined because of natural, biological. Similarly speaking, germinally speaking, we were there realistically in Adam. And then we were there as his representative. We're united because he represents us. God chose him as our representative. And we're there also in the mind of God. From the beginning of the world, we were there. And we're there before time began. Father God, I thank you. I mean, me, I'm hoping everyone else too, but it's just great encouragement to know that you are just so connected to us, and we're so united to you, and there's a love that's between us. I mean, you foreknew us, you loved us and love us intimately. Thank you. As by a billion times, you love us more intimately than our closest relationship. Help us to really believe that, to have faith in that. You've accepted us in Christ Jesus, your beloved. Thank you, Jesus. You chose us, picked us, loving us. Help us not to be too swayed by human beings. By human beings' rejection or non-acceptance or all the other things that they may do to us in a relationship. And help us to focus on your relationship with us and our relationship with you. Christianity, Father God, is the only religion that is based on a relationship. It's not just religion. Yeah. It's a relationship. We get to have and enjoy a real relationship with you. And if we're not doing that, Father, help us to check ourselves, because it's not you. It's us. The preacher, he's seeming to be kind of excited about this relationship. He all got his growl on like Stevie Wonder. I mean, what's all this growling about? Well, if you're thinking that, then you're missing out. Because this is heir to be had. He said he foreknew us intimately, purposefully, closely, lovingly. Hallelujah. Help us, Father, to remove the obstacles. Romans 12, 1. Seeing that we're encompassed and surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily throw us off course and entangle us. So, Father God, these are hindrances. If we're not feeling that this is a relationship, if we're not feeling and all of that, then, Father, help us to check our lives. What weights and sins are we allowing in our lives daily that's preventing us to have close relationship with you? Thank God the life coach, the counselor, the therapist, the Holy Ghost is on the inside, and he'll let us know.
Thank you, Lord.
And when he does, if we truly ask, when he does, we'll accept it and we'll work on it by the power of the Holy Ghost to get rid of those weights and lessen our sins that doth so easily beset us and throw us off course. And this will we do in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Let's prepare for offering.